Hello and welcome to the Friday, October 20th, 2017 edition of On Iowa Politics. This week, the invisible primary in the 1st District, don't mess with RFS and REC disappointment. Hi, I'm James Lynch of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. With me today are Christina Krippis of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, James.
Ed Tibbetts of the Quad City Times. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, James.
And Gazette columnist Todd Dorman. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
And you can find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to On Iowa Politics on iTunes and Stitcher. First up, who's winning the invisible primary in Iowa's 1st District? Republican Rod Blum has won two elections he wasn't supposed to win. Nevertheless, he's attracted a field of four potential Democratic challengers. Although the primary election won't be until June, the invisible primary of fundraising and endorsements already seems to be winnowing the field. Third quarter fundraising numbers show that State Representative Abby Finkenauer leads the field, raising more than $150,000 in each of the past two quarters. The Federal Election Commission shows her with $168,586 on cash, which is more than the $134,000 her closest fundraising competitor, Thomas Heckroth, has raised. However, the Heckroth campaign points out that the two are just $4,000 apart on cash on hand for the primary, which is just 228 days away, and both have racked up several endorsements. Christina, when you look at the numbers, it looks like Heckroth and Finkenauer are competitive, and considering that the Finkenauer campaign said she raised more in the third quarter than the other three candidates combined, that doesn't seem like it would be good news for the others, Courtney Rowe and George Ramsey. Is this beginning to look like a two-candidate race?
Yes, it certainly seems that way based on these numbers. I mean, I never say never, but we are getting closer. Right now we're looking, I hate to say it, but we're getting closer to the holidays. So it basically seems like we're starting, this is the last numbers before we start in a new year, and then you just have 6 months to raise your profile and raise the money. And right now it looks like Tom Heckroth and Abby Finkenauer are doing exactly what they need to be competitive in the primary. And like you said, with those numbers, I mean, they seem like they're both equally doing pretty well. Abby Finkenauer, of course, is so far seeming to lead in endorsements, particularly with kind of national or statewide or district-wide groups like NARAL for women's rights and a lot of labor endorsements. Heckroth just came out with a couple that I have to get together for this weekend yet, but he's got a number of lawmakers from the Cedar Valley and from Dubuque and Linn County that are backing him. So, definitely looks like, at this point anyway, it looks closer to a two-person race than a four-person race.
Yeah, it's interesting that you raised the point about the holidays. It makes fundraising tougher. And the endorsements that Finkenauer has, you mentioned NARAL, but Emily's List as well, those tend to be endorsements that come with more resources, with money and other resources. So maybe those endorsements are worth more than a state legislator's endorsement. But and by the way, it's probably worth pointing out that Rod Blum has almost $884,000 cash on hand, according to his FEC report. So there's plenty of room for more fundraising on the Democratic side, I guess. But it's early. They've got 228 days to raise that money, I guess. Meanwhile, on the legislative front, Iowa apparently has scored a victory for the RFS. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt apparently has learned the hard way, don't mess with the RFS. Although his boss, President Donald Trump, proclaimed his love for Iowa and ethanol and biofuels of all kinds, Pruitt had signaled potential cuts in the RFS. However, yesterday he sent a letter to Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst, as well as other Midwest senators, saying he has changed his mind after hearing from them and Governor Kim Reynolds. So, Ed, is Iowa's liquid gold safe?
Well, you know, you remember last year how we were hearing stories about how the renewable fuel standard and ethanol wasn't as big a deal in Iowa politics as it used to be. Well, I think we've added a new chapter to those stories. Still a very high priority for people like Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst. And, you know, you can never say something is always safe. But this was a pretty instructive lesson in just how powerful some in our delegation are and just how important renewable fuels are to them.
Let me play devil's advocate here for a minute. Does anybody think that this was sort of a political stunt to make Reynolds, who is up for election next year, look strong in the eyes of Iowans? We saw pictures tweeted out of her talking on the phone to the president and Scott Pruitt, and then by the end of the day, they said, "Hey, RFS, or you know, is the way to go." Or am I giving the Trump administration too much credit for thinking of someone other than the president?
Oh, I think that might be a little Machiavellian, but I think what's certainly true is that every political type in Iowa, particularly on the Republican side, rushed to the cameras to talk about this. And this was a pretty elemental thing. This was about making sure that Donald Trump's promise on this was kept. And so, I think all of Iowa's political class wanted to get out there and be seen as holding his feet to the fire, you know, part of some grand plan. I don't know about that, but it served the purpose of bolstering some political resumes in this state.
And do you think that this, you know, this victory on RFS will have any impact on Governor Reynolds' request for health insurance waiver? That we gave you RFS, don't ask for the waiver.
I don't know, but that question has its own dangers. This was one where I think people who have supported Donald Trump dodged a bullet. If EPA had gone forward with this, they would have had a lot to answer for. On the waiver issue, that has some pretty significant consequences if it's turned down. And so if it is, they're going to have to answer for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks down at the State House are looking for answers, too. They got the fall REC numbers. The Revenue Estimating Council met this week, and its projections for state revenue in the coming year were less than rosy. According to our Capitol reporter, Rod Beauchart, state agencies appear to be in for a new round of belt tightening after a state panel scaled back estimated growth in tax collections by $133 million Thursday. Todd, this could have near-term impact because the downward revision applies not only to the next fiscal year but to the current year?
Yeah, I mean, this has been an acronym-laden on Iowa Politics podcast. So
FEC, REC, RFS.
EPA, RFS. I'd add one more, which would kind of be SOL, which is the Republican Legislative Majority. they've got this trifecta. And, you know, they did a lot of stuff this past session, but there are major things they still wanted to do. They wanted to do tax reform, actually probably some tax cuts. They wanted to look at changing the way schools are funded, doing maybe something with vouchers or savings accounts or whatever you want to call it. They just have all these plans, and now they've got this budget situation where it's, you know, becoming pretty clear that the headlines from the next legislative session ahead of an election are going to be cuts. And belt tightening and services being eliminated and schools being underfunded and all of these things that you just don't want to go into election having to deal with. And the governor certainly doesn't want to have to deal with that. She's got a primary challenger who's out crisscrossing the state, pointing out all the things that the state can't afford to fund that are important. So, yeah, I mean, this is bad news for them. I mean, they're going to have to go in and cut a budget that's already been trimmed pretty significantly this year, and mid-year cuts are always more painful and sort of damaging. And they've, against that backdrop, they've got Medicaid privatization. We still don't know how much that's going to cost. And it's also spawning stories like, you know, in the Des Moines Register where a quadriplegic, you know, has been taken off all sorts of services. And I mean, there's just all these personal anecdotes that are going to be out there about the state not being able to afford to care for people. So, yeah, I mean, this, I'm sure legislators were hoping that this would, that these numbers would look a lot better. They're saying that yes, revenues are still growing, but obviously not enough to cover the budgets that they're building. So then you'll get into the debate about whether this is about spending or whether it's about all the tax cuts and credits and breaks that have been given out over the years. So not the legislative session they're going to want going into an election year, but they'll be judged on how they deal with this, no doubt.
What options does the governor and the legislature have at this point? I mean, in terms of this, the current budget year, I mean, are we going to see a special session to deal with that, or?
I would doubt that they, I think they'll probably just sort of look at this between now and January and try to formulate some sort of plan and then put that in place. They'll probably put directors and agencies on notice to look for savings and to tighten their belts and figure it out when they get in January. I would be surprised if they had a special session, but you know, it's going to be difficult considering how much they already, you know, considering they've already cut this budget and also that they've already gone to the trough a few times for reserve funds. I doubt that that's probably in the cards, although, you know, depending on what the December estimate looks like, and then when you get into the session, if things get worse in March, I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, that's been the problem. Is I think, and Ron Corbett's actually made Kim Reynolds' primary opponent has actually made an issue out of this revenue estimating system that seems to be, you know, perpetually wrong at least over the last few years. So maybe there's some change in that because I think this is the, I mean, I think they've had to adjust downward maybe like the last 4, 5, 6 times or more. So.
Right, and there have been some legislators who have talked about making changes to the REC system that maybe making, instead of just three people, having more people on that panel, getting more perspective might be a way to be more accurate. So that probably argument will probably get run out again.
And it'll captivate the public. Because
oh, yeah.
Nobody, there's nothing more exciting than revenue estimating. I mean, it's a...
Yeah. And discussing how to do it.
That's why there, I think there were what? There were, did they hold that revenue estimating conference meeting at Kinnick? I think there were 70,000 people waiting
sold
for the
tickets.
Estimate. It was crazy. It was just a carnival atmosphere.
The concessions was incredible. Yeah, mention the words revenue estimating, and it's like,
oh yeah,
yeah. So after the conference, the revenue estimating council met, the Democrats said the bottom line is that the economic prosperity and fiscal responsibility will only return if Governor Reynolds and Republican legislators start working in a bipartisan way. Is it really that simple?
Yeah. Oh yeah, just bipartisanship that'll balance the budget right away. Yeah. I mean, you know, what are they? I mean, it's. Democrats are in a position where they're basically, I mean, it's a good position for a minority party. They're not responsible for making the decisions that are going to be, you know, painful. They can sit on the sidelines and talk about how terrible those decisions are. And so that's, you know, it's normally really bad to be in the minority. But in this case, there are some advantages to not being, not having to actually balance the budget.
There is that, yeah. And we're in the position of we're out of time, so that's it for this edition of On Iowa Politics. I hope it has been worth your time. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Fan mail may be sent to oniowapolitics@gmail.com. You can find us on the homepages of the Quad City Times, Sioux City Journal, Muscatine Journal, Mason City Globe Gazette, Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier, and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Youth Orchestra, formerly of Iowa City, will take us out. If you know a band or a talented Iowa musician who should be on a show, send us a sound file. And remember to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to On Iowa Politics on iTunes and Stitcher. For Christinia, Ed, Todd, and our producer, Max, thanks for listening.
You can't change me. Rock solid I be. To move me would be an impossible feat. You can't change me. I am who I am. To be with me, you can't change me. No, you can't change me. I fly every day like a bird that takes flight. You can't take that away. You can't change me. I am who I am. To be with me, you can't change me. How many years do you think it takes?
form a mountain from the ground that trembles under these earthquakes. How many times do you think you've got the strength to stand and fight the next round? How strong you really must have to be to lift an elephant from the ground? You can't change me, rock solid I be. To move me would be an impossible feat. You can't change me, I am who I am. To be with me, you can't change me. No, you can't change me. I fly every day like a bird that takes flight. You can't take that away. You can't change me, I am who I am. To be with me, you can't change me. How many times does it take for you to see that you're not gonna get what you want from me? I don't think it really matters what I say. Seems to me you got your mind made up anyway. How many times do you say that people who follow their dreams are the only ones who can achieve? Guess what, I'm not alone for the ride. I'm driving the bus, so get on and step aside now. Change. No one ever told it so. Why would you want the sun to set while you're wishing that the colors are a different set of hues? You could change something yourself, but it looks like you need me to use. You can't change me, rock solid I be. To move me would be an impossible feat. You can't